across the globe, there are places shrouded in mystery, forever linked to otherworldly phenomena. Imagine a serene reservoir in Brazil, seemingly tranquil, but at the heart of one of the most baffling paranormal enigmas ever encountered. And what secrets does it hold? Join me today as I delve into the unknown, uncovering a story so strange it might just redefine the boundaries of reality and what it means to experience an alien abduction. This is My Dark Path. Some of these locations are well known to the masses worldwide, like Roswell and Area 51. Others have strong regional fame, like the freeway in northern Minnesota where Deputy Al Johnson had his unusual UFO experience. And others are hidden from plain sight and public knowledge. And so it may surprise you to learn that Brazil has an unusually high incidence of UFO sightings. Out of all 12 South American countries, Brazil boasts the highest number of alien sightings and extraterrestrial encounters. But as Brazil is South America's most populous country, this may seem like a logical, mathematical conclusion, but the frequency and variety of these encounters make for an exciting investigation. Anyone can access more than 700 records of UFO sightings recorded in Brazil's National Archives Information System, and more reports are filed weekly. And while I've been to Brazil many times, I have yet to explore these stories of UFO encounters that many Brazilians have experienced. The records in Brazil stretch back over 60 years documenting UFO sightings in the country. For example, 6 consecutive nights at the end of 2022, multiple airline pilots in Porto Alegre filed reports of strange lights flying low in a straight formation through the night sky. At the beginning of 2023, similar lights were again reported in Porto Alegre, but in this case, they were also seen over other cities within the Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul, which borders Uruguay to the south and Argentina to the west. These lights flew in an elliptical shape and hovered at an altitude of around 9 kilometers. Observatories in the area recorded the lights and noted they reflected off the tops of clouds, proving their physical presence. Now, it was later announced that these sightings over Porto Alegre were most likely to be low-orbiting satellites linked to a SpaceX launch from Florida's Cape Canaveral station, but this answer was still admittedly speculative. Pilots would be accustomed to seeing different types of lights in the sky and would be among those best qualified to identify an unusual object. And in this case, their inability to recognize this phenomenon hinted that there might be other causes. Carlos Jung of the Heller and Jung Space Observatory in Takara stated, quote, "The most plausible hypothesis so far is that these lights have these satellites as their light source. These new models can reflect much more sunlight, but that no hypothesis has been ruled out so far, not even possible objects of a non-terrestrial nature. But in the light of science, we're analyzing the sightings using scientific data and impartiality to determine the true origin," end quote. And just 2 weeks into this year, viral footage from hikers in Ilha do Mel appeared online. Calling them elongated 10-foot-tall figures, the subjects of the video stood atop a seemingly inaccessible hilltop, with arms flailing in a bizarre and unnerving fashion before these figures were seen striding in an ungainly and jittery manner behind rooftops and then descending out of sight into the valleys below. Skeptics might say that it was just adventurous hikers or climbers embracing a triumphant, free-spirited climb. But others might say their exaggerated dimensions are nothing more but a trick of the eyes from warping from the haze of warm air. But others fervently believe that it is yet another sign of alien life forms making their presence known on Brazilian soil. And regardless of the answers, it proves that the minds of the world are open to paranormal happenings and their eyes are increasingly fixed on the beautiful country of Brazil. Now, the unexplained phenomenon in the country aren't limited to just UFO sightings or alien encounters. In 1988, a horrific discovery shocked the nation and left the country with a still unanswered question. Was a Brazilian man abducted and examined by someone or something not of this world? Hi, I'm M.F. Thomas, and welcome to My Dark Path, where I explore the fringes of history, science, and the paranormal. So if you geek out over these subjects, you're among friends here at My Dark Path. Check us out on X, YouTube, Instagram, and at mydarkpath.com. I'm also grateful for our growing group of Patreon supporters who get exclusive monthly content, copies of my novels, t-shirts, and more swag. Finally, thanks for choosing to walk the dark paths of the world with me. There is so much to explore and ponder, even while we keep our eyes set on what matters most. So let's get started with episode 61, A Different Kind of Autopsy, Cases of Alien Abduction. Now, as a note, this episode has a little more gore than I would normally want, but there is, as usual, nothing gratuitous or explicit. Part 1. Nestled in the heart of Sao Paulo, Brazil, the Billings Reservoir serenely embraces nature, juxtaposed with a sprawling, vibrant metropolis of one of the world's largest cities. The vast and majestic artificial lake spans over 127 square kilometers and offers a lifeline for this bustling city and a sanctuary for those seeking solace from urban living. Now, you're right, the name doesn't seem very Brazilian. It was American hydroelectric engineer Asa White Kenny Billings who designed and constructed this impressive reservoir. In 1927, he took on the mammoth task of creating Sao Paulo's reservoir that now provides water for over 1.8 million people. The reservoir also offers a recreational haven for those seeking to explore its shores. Families regularly picnic on banks, swimmers take refuge from the summer heat in the calm, cooling water. But as with any idyllic facade, delving beneath the surface reveals a darker and more sinister side to Billings' namesake. Concerned locals and environmentalists battle pollution from wastewater and garbage being dumped into the lake, especially from an upsurge in unauthorized settlements in the surrounding areas, and the presence of gangs in the area casts a gloomy shadow on its otherwise sunny shores. But there's one incident that's embedded itself into the history of Billings Reservoir that shocked the local community and defined Billings as an international area of paranormal interest. On September 29, 1988, an enthusiastic 10-year-old boy named Francisco eagerly explored the Billings Reservoir and enjoyed the lake. This was a popular spot for Francisco to visit, and now that the days were getting longer in the southern hemisphere, he enjoyed hunting insects and bugs and searching for birds and small creatures along the peaceful shores after school. And so, his focus stayed close to the ground as he combed the long grass and gazed into the shallow, clear waters of the bank in search of specimens to study and perhaps capture and bring home. But a small commotion broke his concentration and pulled his gaze from the ground. A short distance away, a group of vultures fought over something that he couldn't see from where he stood. At first, he was delighted to witness the vultures in such a display, which was a far cry from the usual small birds he was accustomed to viewing. He paused and watched, reluctant to draw closer and potentially scare them away. But his curiosity got the better of him, and he moved toward the vultures. Finally, as they saw the boy, they took flight before settling down again at a safer distance. And on the banks of this man-made lake, their departure revealed the lifeless body of a man who had been brutally mutilated. Francisco quickly alerted his parents, and they contacted the authorities who flooded to the scene along with the neighboring villagers to investigate. Now, while gangs were known to leave behind the bodies of their victims, the state in which this man was found was out of the ordinary and deeply unsettling. The wounds inflicted on him were inexplicable, and these unique wounds and their causes compelled the authorities to keep the details of the incident and the autopsy results a secret for 6 years. Locals were accustomed to the gruesome stories of gang members who regularly turned up dead. Still, the circumstances of this event made the police reluctant to give out any details at the time. They cordoned off the area and ignored the increasingly concerned inquiries from the vexed inhabitants, and leaving them to their own speculations. The locals were then even more surprised when all evidence of the occurrence vanished rapidly and without a trace the next day. There was no sign of the body and no suggestion that there had ever been an incident at the reservoir. And more importantly, even the local news did not talk about what had happened, let alone offer any details or explanation. While gang killings may have been horrific, the police did not suppress news of them. So without further clarification and without any official statement on the matter, rumors began circulating. The consensus was that the victim was a local fisherman and known alcoholic who'd gone missing 3 days before the discovery. They supposed that he'd fallen into the lake and died either through drowning or intoxication. But this hypothesis didn't explain why the authorities were reluctant to give up any information about what had happened. But without any better insights, this event soon became the accepted story of what had occurred, and the event was quickly forgotten. So 6 years passed, and in 1994, the incident was a hazy memory. However, an unknown member of the Brazilian government gathered up the details of the mysterious occurrence and started leaking the photos and reports to the media. And it quickly became apparent that the locals were right to have been suspicious, yet their initial consensus was incorrect and fell short of the shocking truth. The body was that of the local fisherman, but the cause of his death was no accident. The victim was a 53-year-old man who, along with his alcoholism, suffered from epilepsy. Officials had discovered his clothing on the opposite shore of the lake, and they initially thought that his death could be attributed to one of two reasons. It was either from an epileptic seizure while he was swimming, which caused him to drown, or they postulated that the combination of alcohol and his medication may have been the cause of the drowning. And as sad as his premature death might be, these causes weren't surprising or unusual. So what would cause the authorities to keep the Billings Reservoir body such a secret for all these years? Details of grisly murders and heinous crimes were an everyday occurrence in headlines around Sao Paulo. So what would make them keep the details of the death of this man undisclosed in an area that was accustomed to its fair share of murder and unintentional deaths? While officials had considered the details too important to release to the public, this whistleblower thought differently. And over the subsequent days, weeks, and months, he leaked documents into the mainstream media, and the particulars of the incident began to take shape, forming a grim and alarming reality. Part 2. The body was, in fact, badly mutilated. Hopefully, the young 10-year-old Francisco only saw the dead man from a distance, as the leaked autopsy and photos provided insight into a very bizarre and calculated injuries that were inflicted on the victim. Injuries that left the authorities questioning if a human could have even performed them. Someone had drilled neat, precise, circular holes measuring 1.5 inches in diameter into the man's body in multiple places. Two were symmetrically bored into the side of his chest alongside the armpits. Another punctured through his stomach via his navel. His limbs, too, bore these strange punctures, and a final one was in his groin. Along with these peculiar surgical incisions, the autopsy reported that the left ear had been removed and his lower jaw was mostly missing, along with the skin of his lips and jaw. It had been sliced off. Also, his eyelids were excised and one of his eyes was extracted. And as vicious as the man's injuries were, the autopsy characterized the horrifically precise nature of the wounds. Every hole was the same size and shape, and each pairing was symmetrical and equidistant to its opposing wound. But even more shocking to all involved, on further inspection through the penetrative holes, the man's blood, muscle, and organs had been sucked out, leaving him mostly empty inside, and the crime scene void of any blood or viscera. The body was shrunken and the chest sunken in as a result of the missing vital organs. The stomach, intestines, pancreas, liver, and kidneys were all missing, without any sign of surgical incision, resulting in the conclusion that these small holes had been used to suck out or vacuum the contents of his body in some unique method. Along with these smaller holes, his rectum had also been removed, leaving a sizable gaping chasm where there was once tissue. And all of these wounds had been achieved with the same meticulous surgical precision. By examining the autopsy report further, another disquieting aspect emerges. The report relays the discovery that there were no anesthetics found in the body, and yet there was also no sign of any restraints on the body. The implications are horrific. The victim was alive and aware throughout the procedure, yet the man had been kept still, restrained somehow, or paralyzed, but without the use of physical restraints. The autopsy further stated that the cause of death was, in part, cerebral edema, which is extreme swelling and intracranial pressure. In the absence of damage to the head itself, the combination of an intact skull and a cerebral edema will create agonizing pain in an individual. It was also reported that the man was most likely tortured throughout the ordeal. Essentially, he was in such excruciating pain that the vagus nerve shut down his body, causing respiratory arrest. And so, 6 years after the man's death, the release of this autopsy drew out accusations of a cover-up. Another fact also increased the media and public's belief that the authorities had covered up the event. As the news started to leak, the police initially spun the event as having occurred at the Guarapiranga Reservoir nearby. The discrepancy was eventually cleared up, but the misinformation was yet another indication that there was something to hide. Part 3. While the manner of his death was unusual and rare, as the news leaked, it was pointed out that it seemed very similar to a series of cattle mutilations. In many areas where UFO sightings have occurred, there have been reports of cattle mysteriously dying in bewildering circumstances, identical to that of the Billings Reservoir body. Coroners who have observed the Billings Reservoir autopsy report and witnessed the same type of death in cattle and livestock have stated just how remarkably similar the incidences are, right down to the surgical precision and the removal of eyes, eyelids, lips, mandibles, and ears. The organs and blood are vacuumed out through precise holes bored symmetrically into the body at various points. Now, the earliest known reports of such precise cattle mutilations actually date back to 1606, when the City of London, England, reported on them. And since then, reports of similar scenarios have been made across the globe, with speculation strongly intertwined with extraterrestrial potential. But superstition aside, what logical explanations could there be? The fact that the victim was known to have epilepsy and was recognized as being an alcoholic can, at first glance, give credibility to the official report. The autopsy stated that the cause of death was a cerebral edema leading to extreme pain, which in turn led to respiratory and heart failure. Individuals who suffer from epileptic seizures generally lose consciousness and do not experience immediate pain. Of course, the seizure could have caused the man to injure himself, which, upon waking from the seizure, could have resulted in that severe pain. However, the cause and effect of these findings are all but impossible to resolve. It does not, however, explain the findings about the body's physical state. As previously mentioned, the time frames don't allow for natural decomposition, and there were no predatory marks on the body. It had been reasoned that an animal could have burrowed into the body and eaten it from within, but again, this would not account for the surgical precision of the holes, nor the complete lack of blood at the scene. Some reports even state that the entry points were cauterized. This then leaves us with two hypotheses. Was the victim murdered at the hands of another human, or could there be a paranormal cause? The investigation ruled out the hypothesis that he was attacked and murdered on site by another person. There was no evidence of other individuals being at the crime scene, and the victim showed no signs of a struggle against an attacker. What about the hypothesis that he was a victim of organ harvesting and his body was dumped there after that work was done? The evidence also eliminates this as a cause. The way the organs were sucked through the holes would have left them damaged and unusable for the sake of organ harvesting and sale. Therefore, the wounds and destruction of his body must have been done purely for the sake of torture. Yet, his attackers would have had to have been incredibly skilled and deliberate, and it would have been unfathomably challenging to conduct the procedure without anesthetic. But remember, the body was free of all anesthetics and paralyzing agents. This was not the work of a drug cartel or gang whose appalling methods of torture are equally painful, but significantly less precise and refined. To me, these hypotheses and their answers seem reasonable. Yet we find other stories, like the murder of Al Kite, which I just covered in episode 60, that demonstrate how extraordinary evil exists in the hearts of some people. Could this man's death be at the hands of a merciless serial killer who tortures just for the sake of torture? Al Kite suffered greatly at the hands of Robert Cooper, the pseudonym the killer gave himself as he hunted in Denver in 2004. And the methods used to kill Al Kite were very different from those used here. Yet they are very similar in their severity and intentional nature. So could this be the work of a Brazilian version of Robert Cooper? Potentially, but this hypothesis seems as far-fetched as the next one I'll describe. Could his death have a paranormal origin? According to local superstition, some believe it could be the work of a chupacabra. This is a red-eyed, fanged, mythical Latin American creature that's been reported in multiple forms. Reputed sightings differ, some claiming it to be no larger than a dog, and others have seen it in the size of a small bear. It has been said to wear lizard-like scales, while others have stated that it's covered in fur. Some say it walks on two legs, hopping like a kangaroo, and others claim it walks on all four, skulking after its prey. They've even been reported to look like aliens, which could give credibility to stories of close encounters. But however it may look, the chupacabra supposedly feeds on the blood of livestock, using its sharp fangs to drain the blood through neat holes, which is a noteworthy coincidence. This creature, from deep-rooted folklore, conjures up vampiric images and feeds the nightmares of young children. But for all its dreadful allure, it remains a legend, and maybe even a legend that I'll return to here in the future of My Dark Path. But the strong association with Brazil, UFO, and alien encounters gives some credence to this as a possibility. Reports of mutilated livestock became widespread in the 1970s, and these animals have all been found drained and hollow, with their jaws, eyes, ears, tongues, and flesh missing. Mutilated calves were reported by the Denver Post in 2009, and in Colorado in 2019, five prize bulls appeared drained of blood and defaced in a similar fashion. Accounts of this kind became so prevalent that the FBI was tasked with investigating the mysterious situation back in 1970, but suspiciously, reportedly due to jurisdictional issues, they could not perform their investigations properly, and reports relating to those inquiries are now classified. As much as we want a resolution to the case of the Billings Reservoir Man, it's unlikely that more facts will ever come out, and therefore we're only left with our hypotheses. But there's a parallel case that illuminates the hypothesis that his torture and death came as a result of an alien abduction. Part 4. In 1956, Major William Cunningham witnessed Air Force Sergeant Jonathan P. Lovett being abducted into an alien craft and transported away. Later, he was found naked, lifeless, and devoid of blood and organs, and inflicted with the same surgical injuries as was the man in the Billings case. Within the UFOlogy community, it's believed that this incident was investigated under Project Grudge, a preliminary effort by the U.S. Air Force to examine unidentified flying object sightings post-World War II. Project Grudge was a precursor to the more renowned Project Blue Book, which was operational from 1951 to 1969. Allegedly, the Air Force's probe into this mysterious abduction culminated in a 600-page report termed Project Grudge, Report 13. However, the authenticity of Report 13 remains unsubstantiated, as official records do not acknowledge its existence, and the U.S. government refutes any claims about such a document. The sparse details that are available come from sources who allege to have read the report, and one description of Report 13 is from William Cooper, who claimed that he analyzed a draft version of Grudge Report 13 from the early 1970s. Another description of Report 13 comes from William English, a former Green Beret captain. He asserted that he read Report 13 while stationed at an airbase in Chicksands, England. William English's version of Report 13 is captured on two audio tapes, and furthermore in the book Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials, The Real War of the Worlds by Frank Joseph, it is mentioned that English shared his memories during a 1991 Colorado radio broadcast, and reportedly, Cooper's and English's accounts are remarkably similar. So the tale of Lovett's case was transcribed from English's memory onto these two cassette tapes 3 years later and then distributed among the UFO community in 1980. So there are many reasons to suspect the integrity of England's summary of Report 13, but the story is intriguing nonetheless, and its parallels to the Billings Reservoir Man make it worth sharing. So in March of 1956, Major William Cunningham assisted Air Force Sergeant Jonathan P. Lovett in collecting debris from a rocket test on the White Sands Missile Testing Ground in New Mexico. Unexpectedly, Major Cunningham heard a loud, fearful, anguished scream coming from Lovett's direction. At the moment, they were separated by a small dune, and Major Cunningham initially couldn't see the source of the commotion. Cunningham crossed the dune quickly, expecting to see Lovett with a snake bite or other unfortunate injury. Instead, he clambered over the sandy hill just in time to witness a mechanical, serpentine limb wrapped around Jonathan's legs and dragging him into a hovering, disc-shaped craft. The silvery object was 15 to 20 feet long as it hovered in the air. Once Lovett was drawn inside, the ship quickly vanished into the sky. Initially frozen in fear, Cunningham found his Jeep and radioed for help, and later radar operators reportedly confirmed a sighting in their vicinity at the time. William was picked up and taken to the base dispensary for observation and interrogation. Search parties were sent out immediately, but no trace of Lovett could be found. But 3 days later, Lovett was found, about 10 miles from the location of his abduction. He had been dead between 24 and 48 hours. Predatory birds, who'd attempted to scavenge from the remains, had been found dead and scattered near Lovett's body. His body was naked and desecrated in an undeniably similar condition to that of the Billings Reservoir Man. The mutilated corpse had a large part of its tongue removed from the lower jaw, and a surgical incision had been made from the chin right down to the larynx. His eyes had been removed, his anus and groin cored out in plugs, and the corpse was relieved of all organs and blood with surgical precision, and unusually, English noted that there was no vascular collapse, which almost certainly would have taken place in anyone who had died of complete blood loss. It was also stated that Williams was initially charged with the murder of Sergeant Lovett, but that the charges were later dropped. Of course, this case remains unsubstantiated, and there is no follow-up available, but the story shared years before the death of the Billings Reservoir Man has remarkable similarities. Are authorities just as baffled as we are, or is there more to this event that we can even hypothesize about? It's alarming to think that we may never know, but perhaps it's more alarming still to believe that one day we just might. Thank you for listening to My Dark Path. I'm MF Thomas, the creator and host, and I produce this show with our engineer and creative director, Dom Purdy. This story was written in collaboration with Adrian Booth. I'm grateful to both of them and the entire My Dark Path team. Again, thanks for walking the dark paths of history, science, and the paranormal with me. Until next time, good night.